And the message I want to speak today is called The Father's Heart. And I want to start with this quote. A.W. Tozer, who's a great author, I don't know if you've read any of his books, they're definitely good books to read. In his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he says this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Now, the first time I read that, I was kind of a bit puzzled by the statement and had to read it again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Now, Tozer is emphasizing the profound impact our perception of God has on our lives and also on our spiritual walk. He argues that our understanding of God shapes not only our individual lives and our spiritual walk, but also the collective history and spirituality of entire cultures and societies. According to Tozer, a person's concept of God directly influences their worship, their moral and ethical decisions, and ultimately their destiny. In this context, Tozer is challenging us to examine our thoughts about God and to seek a deeper and more accurate understanding of Him, as this will profoundly shape our lives and our spiritual journey. So, what comes into your mind when you think about God? Maybe you've got an image already happening in your mind. For me, and I'm sure a lot of us, how we see God is directly influenced by our own family experiences. I think our fathers, along with our mothers and other people of influence in our lives, play a huge part in how we perceive and view God. And sometimes negative experiences that we can have can distort our view of God, who He is, and His heart towards us. For some, the idea of God as a father is a comforting and familiar concept, reflecting the love and the care that they've experienced in their own lives. But for others, it may be a difficult image to embrace, God as a father, perhaps due to the pain of loss, maybe distance or separation, or potentially unmet expectations. Yet regardless of our past or present circumstances, the truth of who God is and His heart towards us remains unchanging. As I said, I've titled this message, The Father's Heart, and I just want to share quickly four key aspects of God's heart towards us. And as we explore these truths, my prayer is that each of us will gain a deeper understanding of the Father's heart, allowing His love to transform our lives and draw us closer to Him. Can we pray quickly before we start? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the ultimate Father. And I pray over these next few moments that through Your Spirit, You would renew our minds and renew the image that we have of You as we think about You in our minds, to be more in line with who You really are, how You see us, and what we are to do in light of that. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the first point about God's heart towards us is that He wants to redeem us. God's heart towards us is that He wants to redeem us. The heart of our Heavenly Father is to redeem us from the grip of sin and death. Amen? John 3:16, which I'm sure everybody here knows or has heard, and those watching online, says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Amen. That's the foundation of our faith. And it goes on in verse 17 to say, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." So if your view of God is that of condemnation against you for the things that you've done, that's not God's heart towards you. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, but that through Him we would be saved. His heart towards us is to redeem us. The great evangelist Billy Graham says it like this, "Redemption is the story of God's relentless love pursuing us, paying the price to bring us back from the brink of destruction." Redemption is the ultimate expression of God's love and mercy. Amen? I just want to give everybody the opportunity or the permission to respond back. If I say something you like, you can say amen. If you disagree, you can say, hey, I'm not sure. No, don't do that one. But happy for you to be involved in this sermon process. Redemption is the ultimate expression of God's love and mercy, a love that was willing to go to the cross and endure the cross, to take the place of our sins and bring us back into relationship with Him. This is the good news of the gospel. Amen? Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Church, we need to understand God's heart towards us is to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins and bring us back into relationship with Him. You might be new here today and you're like, I don't know, I don't think I need a relationship with Jesus. Trust me, you do. We can't go through life doing everything in our own strength. It's not all going to work out. Sometimes we feel like it's hard. We're letting go of control of our lives by giving our lives to Jesus and choosing to follow Him. But actually, He knows us so much better than we know ourselves. He can lead us into the things that He puts even within our hearts. So God's heart is to redeem us. And as I said, this is the good news of the gospel, that God is not a distant entity somewhere out there in the ether, unconcerned and unworried about us. No, He's a loving Father. God uses the language of family all throughout the Bible, and He reveals Himself to us as a loving Father that reached down from heaven and met us where we were at. And through His Son, Jesus, who lived the life that we could never live and died the death that really we should have died in our sin and rose again. I want to encourage you here today that God knows what you've been through. God knows what you're going through. He knows the dreams, the cries in your heart, and His heart towards you is to redeem you. That is the Father's heart. This verse in Romans just absolutely revolutionized my life as a 14, 15-year-old. And it says this, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You know, it's one thing to die for someone that you love and you know is going to accept you, and it's another thing to do it for someone who could completely reject you. But God demonstrates His love towards us in this act, that while we were still sinners, not even knowing if we were going to reciprocate the love that He shares towards us, He died for us. His heart is to redeem us. We can't go through life just in our own strength. So many people have tried. I've tried. God wants to redeem us. Secondly, God wants to restore us. Amen? Our Father's heart is not only to redeem us, but to restore us. God's heart is for restoration. He is not content to leave us in our brokenness. His desire is to heal, to rebuild, to renew every area of our lives. That's His heart towards you today. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, "He restores my soul." I don't know if you've ever been so sad or so lost in your soul. You feel like there's no hope. There's no way to get through. Nothing's going the way it's supposed to go and you find yourself lost. God restores you. "He restores my soul," the psalmist says, "and He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Restoration is God's promise to bring us back to a place of wholeness where we can experience the fullness of His love and grace. In His hands, nothing is beyond repair. Do you believe that this morning? Some people need to just sit on this. There's things happening in your life that seems beyond repair. God's heart is to restore you. And nothing that we give to Him, He won't come in and bring something good out of it. God takes the shattered pieces of our lives and crafts them into something beautiful and whole. I know this in my own life. The healing and the restoring power of God has helped me in some of the hardest times in my life. When I was 13 years old, I had an older brother, 8 years older than me, he's 21. And he, for a long time, many years, had been hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong sorts of things, getting into drugs, alcohol, parties, relationships, all these different things. And he was in a long-term relationship with someone that he really loved, and that ended very badly. And he got himself into a state of feeling like there is no hope anymore. There's no reason to live. That the path that he saw for his life was now completely gone and never going to come back again. And he decided to take his own life. And as a 13-year-old boy, I remember the knock on the door as the policeman came and told my parents that my brother had died and that they were looking into the circumstances around it. I found myself as a 13-year-old lost, broken, numb, hurting, questioning everything. I grew up with a mom who, I don't know if anyone else has had a mom like this, where if you live in this house, you go to church. Anyone else can relate to that? At the time, I didn't appreciate it so much, but I'm very thankful for it now. And even in the midst of this time, we would go to church every Sunday. But some Sundays when I didn't feel comfortable sitting in the crowd, we had curtains along the side of our church and I'd sit behind the curtains so nobody could see me. And this one time we had a guest speaker who was coming. And his whole message was about God's love, how much God loves us, how he sent his son for us to show us his love. And as I sat there arguing in my head with everything that he was saying, it got to the end and he said, if anyone wants to experience God's love, I want to invite you to come forward for prayer. Now, I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this, but in my mind, I didn't want to go, but I found myself walking up to the altar. And I'm almost arguing with myself on the way. I got there and this guy put his hand on me and prayed for me. And it was like a weight was just lifted off me. I began to cry. I fell on the ground. And I felt this warmth, almost like a hug around me. And in that moment, I knew God loved me. All the questions and the doubt and the confusion seemed to have cleared. I knew God loved me. I knew there was a reason why I was alive. I knew God had a plan and a purpose for me. And I knew that I was to serve Him and follow Him for the rest of my life. I was 13 years old, and that is still one of the most powerful encounters I've ever had. That shapes me even to this day. The power of God's love. And in that moment, God restored me. He restored me into my true identity in Him as His child. And the funny thing is, he didn't explain any of the circumstances. But I didn't necessarily have questions. Obviously, I missed my brother and I'd love him to be back. And there's many other facets to this story I can share at a later date. But in that moment, I knew who I was in him. It's the kind of thing money can't buy. It's the kind of thing you can't find somewhere else. We only find it in God. We can look for it in other areas. We can look for it in drugs. We can look for it in promiscuous relationships. We can look for it in many different areas, even in building up our own ego and feeling like we're awesome because we're doing so many great things. But we can still go to sleep at night, broken, empty, and lonely, wondering who we are and what's the purpose of our lives. I'm so thankful for that moment when God touched me with His love. And I pray that everybody would experience God's love like that. God's restoration is God's way of turning our pain into purpose. I made a decision in that day that I was going to tell every single person I could about the love of Jesus. And I was going to live a life even for my brother. And I was going to reach out to people so that not one person would ever feel like there is no hope in their life. There's no reason to live. Gave that pain purpose. No matter what is happening in our lives, if we give it to God, He can still bring good out of it. Amen. That's God's heart towards you in the midst of your circumstances, to restore you. Restoration is not about just fixing the brokenness in our lives. It's also about restoring our identity, as I said. Our identity in God and our position in God's family as His children. John 1, 12 to 13 says, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." Amen. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. God longs to restore our true identity in Him. Where we find our worth and our purpose and our value in being His child. Through Jesus, we're no longer defined by our past mistakes or worldly standards, but by the unchanging love and acceptance of our Heavenly Father as His children. Our identity is secure in Him, reflecting His character and living out His calling for our lives. God's heart is to restore us. There's so many voices out there telling you what you should think, what you should value, what you should do with your time, what you should do with your thoughts. Often it's not even out there. It's here right in front of us. We go to bed with it every night, staring at it, telling us what we should do, what we should value, who we should be. But unless we find our identity in God and allow Him to restore us into that place, we're always going to be searching. We're never going to be totally secure in who we actually are and outwork the calling that He has in our lives. God wants to restore us. Thirdly, God wants to replace us. Not replace us as in to remove us. I needed an R word, okay? So work with me here. God wants to replace us in family. God's heart is to place us within a family, a spiritual family that we call the church. In this family, we're no longer isolated or alone. We're connected to a community of believers who walk alongside us, encouraging and strengthening us in our faith. The church is where we grow. It's where we serve. It's where we find our collective identity as God's people. It's through this family that we experience the love and the support needed to help navigate the challenges of life that we go through and to fulfill the calling that God has on our lives. Our walk of faith is personal, it's deeply personal, but it's not meant to be private. God designed us to be in community with each other. He wants to replace us into His family. Nikki Gumbel says it like this: the church is God's family on earth, a community of brothers and sisters called to live in the love and unity that reflects our Heavenly Father. The church is God's family on earth. Romans 12:5 says, "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." In church, we find the support we need to walk out our faith. The encouragement to keep going when times are tough. And the opportunity to be a part of something much larger than just ourselves. For me, church saved me in so many ways. As I said in the story before, I had this encounter with God. Now, I was a part of that church for many years before that, but after that moment, so many people came around me and helped me. I'd lost an older brother and I felt that hole in my life, but through the church and many people who were around about the same age, they got around me and they took me out and did things with me. They helped me, they supported me, they encouraged me. Church was a place where I felt like I belonged. I felt safe and I felt like I was a part of something. And that's what we are as the church. We're not individuals who just walk in here on a Sunday and sit down in our designated seats and talk to our designated people. We're a family that's there to love and support each other. That's why God wants to place us in this family. The answer to your prayer could be sitting next to you right now in this room. We're the church and we're God's family. And the church needs to be a place where people find what they're looking for. Obviously, ultimately, it's in Jesus, but practically outworked in many ways through each other. Psalm 68, verse 6, the first part says, God sets the lonely in families. There's people even here in this room watching online and other campuses that are lonely that we don't even know that they're lonely. And it's not until we go out of our way to ask people how they're going. Be willing to ask, but also allow people to ask you how you're going. And be honest with where you're at. You don't have to share deep, dark secrets. But if you need help, we need to ask. Now, this doesn't mean that we live in each other's back pockets and we know everything about each other in some weird sort of way, but it does mean that we're there for each other and we can help each other. So God wants to replace us into family, and I wouldn't be the person I am today without God placing me into the churches that I've been a part of, and now this church here, Life Unlimited, which I'm so excited to be a part of. The last thing is that God wants to release us. Amen. Our Father's heart is to see us walk in the fullness of everything He has prepared for us. He doesn't just save us and leave us, but He continues to work in us and through us, through His Spirit, shaping and preparing us for the great things that He has in store. Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has a destiny for all of us, a unique purpose for every single person in this room and those watching online as well. And He equips us with the gifts, talents, and opportunities we need to fulfill our purpose. And He takes joy in seeing us, His children, step into the fullness of our potential in Him and live out the abundant life that He has promised. And we are Life Unlimited Church, right? What an incredible name, Life Unlimited. That's God's heart for you, to have an unlimited life. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. That's definitely not my experience. But it does mean that He wants us to have life and life to the full. I'm sure it comes from John 10:10, which says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy, but I," this is Jesus saying, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." We're meant to have a full life in God. And part of the fullness of that life comes by being released into the calling that He has for us. There's something so incredible that happens within us as we're activated into God's service. We find a sense of fulfillment that we can't find in any other way as we partner with Him and outwork His divine purpose on earth. Not only does it transform the people around us that we help and serve, but it transforms us, causes us to grow, and leads us into the fullness that God has for us. God's heart is to release us. Now, these four key aspects speak into four different areas of our life that are crucial as followers of Jesus. The first one, redeem, is salvation. And that's the first step in any believer's journey, is making that decision to follow Jesus, to turn from your old ways, to give your life to Him and follow Him. The second one, restore, speaks to our identity. This is crucial as believers, that our identity is found in Jesus, in the Father's heart. Replace us speaks about community, that we're meant to be a part of community. And lastly, release speaks about our purpose. Purpose is what so many people are looking for out there, out in the world, trying to find purpose. The best purpose you could find in your life is to love, serve, and follow Jesus. Thank you, Anu, for that clap. I received that. So let me ask you this question. What comes into your mind when you think about God? it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and renew the picture that we have of God, to truly reflect who He is, His character, and His love and His heart towards us.